Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to The Windsor Knot. This is a royal wedding podcast from me, Joe Screbbles.
And me, Daniel Krupa.
We're two English men.
With very English names.
Yes, yeah, two English men with Eastern European backstories.
I tell you what, it hasn't stopped the Windsors.
No, absolutely not. They've been fine all the way through, hundreds of years?
I know you say ostensibly a podcast about the impending royal wedding between Meghan and Harry.
Yes.
I thought it was a podcast entirely built around a pun.
Well, that's it. We started there and we just got here.
I mean, there's no better reason for a podcast to exist.
It's just office riffing. If you don't know who we are, and why would you, we're both primarily video game and film writers. But we thought, as people who are English and living in the very city, London town, in which a new Windsor will be born, I guess? Is that what a marriage is? Is that the birth of a new member of your family?
Some say it is the first day of the end of your life.
Oh, God.
It doesn't have to be.
I thought we were being upbeat. The brief was upbeat.
This is about as peppy as I go. So over the coming weeks, we're going to be chronicling the impending nuptials between Harry and Meghan. And all the kind of stuff that comes out around the wedding, the planning, the dress, which I'm obviously very interested about.
Absolutely.
But I thought, like, first week, we should probably get back to basics and introduce our key players.
Yes.
And we've taken one person each. We actually were in the pub last week.
We were.
And this is how we organise the running order. We did it using a coin, which I've just realised has his grand's head on.
Yeah. Bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And his pet griffin that Harry had. As
mate,
tails.
Posh kids
get what they like.
I just wanted a gecko. I was obsessed with geckos. I once went to a pet store in the Lake District and they had a Tokay gecko that hissed at me and I really wanted
him. You loved him?
Yeah.
Because he hissed at you?
Yeah, but I couldn't have it.
I had stick insects.
Yeah, I got a hamster that died. Well, we kept him in the house and he smelt, so we put him in the garage.
Oh.
And he died.
Doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
You should be arrested.
Yeah, probably should. Okay, so how are we going to do this, Joe?
We're going to go through in three broad pieces of each nuptial recipient's life. We're going to go birth/childhood,
okay,
adolescence/adulthood,
okay,
and then their career.
Cool.
Leading up gently to the engagement itself.
Or the what moment. I like to call the romantic convergence.
Exactly, yes, the romantic convergence. Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah. It's okay. Like Event Horizon.
Yeah.
It's like a sexy Event Horizon.
I mean, have you seen the flashbacks in Event Horizon? Some of them, depending on your proclivities, pretty sexy.
Yeah, for Hellraiser, it would be like softcore porn.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, that's doing nothing for me.
Is he called Hellraiser?
He's called Pinhead.
Yeah.
He's leader of the Cenobites.
Pinhead Hellraiser, that's his full name.
I honestly didn't
Mr.
think...
Mr. Hellraiser to you.
I honestly didn't expect Pinhead to come up this soon.
Nope.
Anyway.
We've done it.
Okay, who's going first?
I think let's go royal first.
Okay.
There's no ladies in the royals.
Okay, so Harry was born Henry Charles Albert David on September 15th, 1984.
I know I'm interrupting straight away.
It's fine.
What is his last name?
He doesn't have a last name.
Right, so I've been confused about this for ages. They're not called something Windsor.
So, it's very complicated to get a straight answer on this. I think if you're one of, like, the main ones,
yeah,
and that's how I'm referring to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not, like, you know, the lesser gentry.
The big
gentry, lesser royalty.
The big show.
If you're one of the big four, you don't have to have a surname.
Oh.
And so some of them adopt the kind of epithet. So he sometimes uses Wales, but he doesn't have to.
His last name can be Wales.
So when he was in the army, he went by the name Captain Harry Wales, which sounds like a boy's own fiction.
It sounds like
a John Buchan novel.
He sounds like that, or a Tottenham midfielder.
I'm Captain Harry Wales, yeah. Just flying a helicopter. Who's that? It's Captain Harry Wales.
There he goes.
Go on, mate. So yeah, he doesn't have one, but I think he kind of uses Wales. Sometimes they can use Windsor.
Okay.
It's very, like, unspecified. I think it's when you want the top ones,
yeah.
You just go, look at it.
Yeah.
Like, the Queen is a great example of that. She just get a stamp out.
Yeah. She doesn't need a passport.
Yeah, so he was born, and he was the second child of Charles, Prince of Wales, Diana, Princess of Wales.
Heard of her.
And brother to William.
Yes.
And his nan's the Queen.
Oh, old Queenie.
So I didn't want to, there's obviously so much information to distill here, so I wanted to like focus on one thing that kind of resonated with me. In a book that, it's a biography written of Diana by Andrew Morton. It's called Diana, Her True Story, : in her own words.
Very unwieldy title.
Well, it's like Diana, Her True Story, : in her own words, : honestly, it was her, : promise you, I've not just made this up. So they're very much at pains to emphasise this was her.
Yeah.
Apparently, Charles was gutted that Harry wasn't a boy.
That's always a good start to your life.
Do you know
that? I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. That's how a lot of serial killers start. Misgender.
It genuinely sounds horrible. So apparently his first comment to Diana after he was born was, oh God, it's a boy.
What?
And he's even got red hair. And then Diana said at this, something inside
I wanted divorce.
Something inside me closed off that day.
Oh God.
So it's like Harry was the beginning of the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's been the case for a lot of parties.
Yeah,
and what is marriage if not the greatest party of all?
Apparently one of the reasons he was good, he really wanted Harry to be a girl. So Diana hid the gender from Charles.
What do you mean she hid it? Well, so she knew it?
Well, it sounded like she went for the ultra scan and he didn't because he was busy.
I just want to point out, ultrasound scan, not the ultra scan, which sounds like something that would happen in anime.
The ultra scan, where you basically can like see his future.
Yeah.
And yeah, she kept this like hidden from him.
That's really sad.
But apparently, he was devastated that it was a girl. He was like, it wasn't a girl. He wanted a boy and a girl.
Do you think Harry only found that out from Diana, in her own words, the last of the Mohicans, whatever it's called?
Yeah.
He just read it and went, fucking hell.
I do think that about a lot, what we'll talk about in this podcast sometimes is growing up, having all this information, like lurid like details about your parents out there for everyone to read.
Yes. And as you know, this is the weird thing, is not only is it available for everyone to read, I keep thinking this, especially reading about Meghan, who's been thrust into this. Not only is it available for everyone to read, people like us, like, we should put our cards on the table. We're not royalists, but we're also not Republicans. It's just sort of like it happens in the country somewhere over there.
It's a weird backdrop to our lives, really.
It just sort of exists, which means any information that actually gets through to me, it could be false, and I'll just take it. Like, people don't pay attention to what's true about these people.
Well, actually, on some of the stories for this, I click through to, like, the hyperlinks, and it kind of just evaporates into nothing, the sourcing of this stuff.
You just see the Matrix.
Yeah, it just becomes a Daily Mail Ouroboros.
Oh, that's not good.
But, you know, I think from early on, I think Diana was very keen that she didn't want her two sons to have a very typical royal upbringing.
Mm.
So this, you know, this is a quote from Wikipedia. Diana wanted Harry and his older brother William to have a broad range of experiences than previous royal children, and took them to venues that ranged from Disney World and McDonald's to AIDS clinics and shelters for the homeless.
Oh, that's good though.
It's a bit of a mixed summer holidays.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
I wouldn't like it, but it's helping them.
I know, but if you thought you were going to Alton Towers and then you had to wear a flak jacket because you're in an Angolan minefield.
You know, there's always like the liberal kid at school, like the parents who show them porn and stuff, and they're like fine with it. Like,
yeah,
that's a thing, isn't it?
I don't know. That you're describing Fred West kid.
No, but I'm saying not like in a evil way.
And the
like,
porn is their parents.
Yeah, in a like, oh,
that's a bit too liberal even for me, Joe.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Anyway, like, You've always got that kid.
Yeah. I
always think about those parents. I'm like, that's very good. If I ever have kids, that's not how I'm treating them. But I'll always be like, oh, well done to you. Now keep your kids away from mine.
Good on you. I'm happy you exist, but stay.
But if you tell
clear.
Them the truth about Santa Claus, I will burn your house down.
He makes porn.
Exactly. You've mentioned previously. I had an upbringing in which I was occasionally in contact with some members of the aristocracy.
I wonder where that was going. And I thought you were going to say ghosts or aliens.
I'm not
going
to say which one, but I knew a family in which the son of a lord used a very famous stately home to film porn in.
What?
Yeah. So there are porn films out there in the very places that Harry may have walked.
A very famous one.
Like, oh, yeah.
One of the biggies.
Oh, big ol.
What, the Queen would have stayed there?
No. I'm talking like stately home that you know, you'll see. It's got brown signs, mate. You know the brown signs that take you to tourist traps?
It takes you to porn location.
Exactly.
Epping Forest.
Yeah. Actually, I should say, you know the famous signs? This is a tangent. We should get back to the podcast. You know those signs that say secret nuclear bunker?
Signs for the secret nuclear
bunkers.
Yeah,
this is a famous thing. If you look on the internet, everyone's like, the British are so charming. Because there are like tourist signs to secret nuclear bunker in Essex. Okay. Film porn there as well. I know a lot about this.
Wow, okay.
Anyway, back to Harry.
So, again, so much information, but I wanted to focus on one particular event. I want to take you back to 1997. Oh. And I think it was an Odeon in Kensington, West London.
An Odeon?
Yeah. Diana takes, I remember this really vibrantly, she took, do you know this story? She took Harry and William to see the movie, it's The Devil's Own, the Brad Pitt IRA movie with Harrison Ford in it.
Don't know it.
So this was a 15 age rated movie.
Oh, Harry, told you liberal parents.
Harry was 12.
Yeah, that's not on.
Okay. William was a day before his 15th birthday and she convinced them to let them in. This is a national uproar.
Really?
A national uproar, this. And I remember this very distinctly in 1997. Because let me take you back even further to January 1994. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Doubtfire is about to come out at UK cinemas. I'm excited for this movie in which a divorced man tries to reconnect with his young children using prosthetics.
Yes.
And I find out this movie as a 7-year-old Daniel. It's a 15. No, 12. It's a 12.
I was going to say.
The Devil's Own is a 15.
I think they use the words, I don't want to be rude, son of a bitch in that film.
So that's okay. So it was rated as 12. I was devastated.
Yeah.
I was absolutely devastated. I just wanted to see this film. I loved Robin Williams at the time. I really wanted to see this film. It came out in UK cinemas, and then there was an uprising across the country.
An uprising?
Yes, there was a resistance in Scunthorpe. And eventually the BBC took it to Chris Columbus. And they recut the film.
What?
And it came back out in cinemas, I think, in March, April, with severe edits to one restaurant scene in particular. And it's this scene, this restaurant scene, where Robin Williams basically goes through a lot of euphemisms for sex.
Okay.
And to this day, I've never seen that edition. Because it's never been released in the UK. And he says such things as, I've never heard Robin Williams say, baloney bop, horizontal mambo, and... it's not as good. Rumpel Foreskin.
That's my favourite.
And I feel kind of like that's my biggest encounter of royal privilege. Is they fight to got they got to see a film about the IRA, it's a terrible movie, and I never got to see the uncut version of Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's interesting. So
I should say,
so this is your biggest. So it's not the point you relate to him most. It's the opposite.
Yes, I feel most distant from him.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Like, I should say, because we all get an email, I know Mrs. Doubtfire came out unedited in November 2012, but I'm not that fussed anymore.
No. Back at the Prince Charles, maybe.
Anyway, yeah, I'm not that fussed
anymore.
We'll
go as a team.
I'll go with the canon cut.
Yeah. Is that Harry?
That's I think I've done a fairly comprehensive job there.
You have done a very comprehensive job. Let me tell you about a little girl born August 4th, 1981, 3 years before Harry.
Oh, she's older. Lovely.
Cradle snatcher, as they say. She was born, get this, Rachel Meghan Markle. So she's a liar.
Right, okay. I'm glad someone's vetting her at last.
Yes, unbelievable.
Because the Queen has to give her a blessing. I bet the Queen's not doing this.
No, absolutely. She's never...
Imagine the Queen having to watch all the suits. She's like, I thought it was on Netflix. I don't have Amazon Prime.
I've just realised that her real first name is the name of her character in Suits, Rachel.
Ooh.
So maybe, do you think that makes it more confusing or less confusing? You know when people have their actual names in...
I don't know. I am confused. I don't know to which extent.
Anyway, Rachel Meghan Markle.
Okay.
Later to be known simply as Meghan Markle, with the Rachel cast to the winds of history.
It comes back to haunt her one day.
it was the daughter of a social worker slash yoga instructor.
Now, what?
She was a social worker slash yoga instructor.
Okay.
Well, I suppose therapist and yoga instructor. Maybe that's like, maybe, you
this
know.
This ain't working.
Half
try
an,
this.
Half an hour of yoga, half an hour of, what's that called, CBT? Like,
yeah.
That kind of works. I don't know. And that's her mother. Then her father was an Emmy Award-winning lighting director for sitcoms. She spent, and she said this on a weirdly inappropriate chat show appearance with Craig Ferguson, who I don't get.
No.
I'm glad he's gone. Well, oh, wait, it's James Corden now, isn't it? Worse. It's like the shit British like when, slot, that
it's
bit,
always
isn't
happen-
it?
It's like when you create power vacuums in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely
that's
right.
That's the Late Late Show.
As a child, she spent most days after school hanging out on the set of Married with Children, which is interesting. And it would influence her into wanting to get into acting herself.
Seeing it up and close.
Yeah, she loved it.
So like that yoga.
There's a weird bit in this interview where she says it was a weirdly perverse place for a child who went to a Catholic school to grow up.
Right, okay.
Which I don't fully get. Like, what was going on the set of Married with Children?
It's just, again, also, it's TV stuff.
Catholic upbringing. She now has to represent the Church of England.
Yeah, she's going to have to get baptized.
She is getting rebaptized. That's happening.
Yeah.
But here's a very interesting thing. So when all of this engagement got announced, there was like, we're going to run into this a lot in the course of this podcast. Like, borderline, if not absolutely racist chat about her half white, half black heritage. And when it was first announced, people were talking about her like gangster upbringing and stuff. She was born to an upper middle class family. Like,
her mum's a yoga instructor.
Her dad's an Emmy Award winning lighting director. Like, so she had a very comfortable upbringing. And I found out something really extremely interesting, right? Get this. She is of royal descent on her dad's side.
What?
She is descended from Edward III, who, if you don't know, evolved the concept of British Parliament, turned the UK into a worldwide military force, and was denounced as an irresponsible adventurer by later historians.
Absolute lad.
So here we go. Windsor Castle belonged to Meghan Markle's family before it belonged to the Windsors themselves.
The Saxe-Gotha-Coburgs or whatever.
Calling it now, long con. This is it.
Whoa.
She's coming right back round, taking what's rightfully hers.
Are they executing a plan here?
Well, they're executing someone, I'll tell you that. See you later, Queenie. Yeah. No. She's going to be very nice.
What if for years back we just find like somebody just anonymously sent Harry a box set of suits?
And he's just like, interesting.
Oh, ooh, she's going to the Invictus game.
Rachel Zane is my favourite character. That's how he speaks, right?
Ish, I think, give or take a
he's
bit.
He's suave.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Los Angeles, and there's a very... I think the nicest part of her childhood is she immediately... Meghan seems very cool. Like, a very good person in a non... sort of... A lot of people do stuff where you're like, oh, they're probably using it for celebrity.
Yes.
Right. At 11... she was getting TV coverage because she was campaigning against sexist TV adverts.
Yes.
That is commitment.
Like, I saw a video on Facebook that went crazy about this, where she is at a gala and a dinner or something, and she's kind of recapping this story about this thing she did as a young girl.
Mm.
And I think it's like she critiques like detergent advertising or something.
Yes, because
it uses sexist language.
It's something along the lines of women run back to the kitchen or something. Or it will make you run back to the kitchen.
Yes.
And she wanted it changed to, it will make people run back to the kitchen.
Right, and she like campaigns it, and eventually she writes letters to several prominent female politicians, I believe. I think maybe even Hillary Clinton at the time.
Quite possibly, yeah.
And eventually they do change the language. So there's a little, you know, 11-year-old girl makes this big multinational company change stuff.
And now she will be our queen.
Yeah, I liked her until I found out she was conning her way back into Windsor County.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Unbelievable.
Bit of that. Column A, column B, and all that. But that's the childhood of Meghan Markle, as per my notes. Right. I think she was very eventful.
So now the next section is adulthood.
Mm.
I think it's kind of appropriate mine still says adolescence
okay,
for
yeah,
Harry.
Yeah.
Because I think he was spotlighted as I think he'd gone into epithet as the wild child for
yes.
many years in the British media.
You're saying he didn't grow up.
He probably didn't help himself, but I also think this is where he's at his most relatable. Definitely not getting into that movie, he's not. Because he kind of does stuff that I think... we've all done stupid stuff when we were teenagers. Imagine if your stuff was covered in national media.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes to a string of very posh schools, ending up at Eton College. He got 2 A-levels, B in art, D in geography. Dropped history of art as an AS level.
Oh, come on.
I thought he had to do 3.
Probably not at Eton.
Probably not when you're in the line.
£12,000 a term, that is. You can do what you like.
Well, he did a lot of polo and rugby.
Did he?
Yeah, he's very good at both of those.
Do we know he's very good at them?
I don't know. Maybe they're just being generous because he's rubbish at history of art.
I won't believe it until he comes on this podcast and we
do some polo.
Do some rugby on him.
But even at this time as Eton, there was a big scandal that he colluded with his teachers to cheat on exams.
What?
Yeah, but like apparently there was an investigation to it. Nothing wrong went on. But the thing is, you're going to cheat. You should be doing better than being a D in geography.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't think
he was.
Yeah. Anyway, some of the most prominent things that happened to him. When he was at age 17, he was spotted smoking cannabis.
Cabinets?
He was smoking cabinet members, just taking them out.
Get rid.
He was hunting them like quail.
They were all the bearded ones that Margaret Thatcher didn't like.
Smoking cannabis and partaking in underage drinking with his friends at 17.
Unbelievable.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Never
and
did
clashing
it.
Physically with paparazzi outside of nightclubs, like I did that at 17.
Clashing physically?
Yeah, in Blackburn, there was a nightclub called Moist.
No, there isn't.
There was. There's That's... not anymore. Did not have longevity as a venue. Moist. And there were no paparazzi outside of there.
No?
Just...
scumbags.
Muck. And but I think probably the most high profile naughty thing he did was he was photographed at Highgrove House at a colonial and native theme costume party wearing a Nazi German uniform with a swastika armband.
I remember that.
I think everyone remembers that.
That's really stuck in my head.
That was probably the most high profile blunder until he was photographed naked in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but that's just what you do in Vegas.
Hijinks.
Also, I would like to say, I went to a costume party as an 18-year-old, and someone was there as a hanged Saddam Hussein. So I can relate to him. Wasn't me. I was dressed as the concept of Scrabble.
Yours is a much friendlier costume.
It was. It said Happy Birthday in Scrabble tiles across it to the man whose birthday it was.
Whoa, what word score you get?
I didn't. I was. That would be several different. Because it would have to be happy.
Yeah.
And then there need to be a space where other game parts of the game were going on. And then birth and then day.
So what you say is you really think it through, did you, Joe?
No, absolutely not. I don't think it's even that much. Why, maybe? Why's all right?
But I think that's the thing. He had those middle years where I think. Because William was always going to be destined for the. You know, he's going to be the future king one day.
Yes.
Harry, I think, rightly or wrongly, was pigeonholed as this like naughty little younger brother.
They didn't even want him to be a boy. Like,
I know.
Who knows what's going on in his psyche?
And I think, you know, when this sort of stuff happened, obviously the British newspaper, like I think especially with the naked stuff in Vegas, they weren't even going to like print those pictures. I think only The Sun did.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the American websites like TMZ published them without qualm. But even the British papers went, it's okay to, like, obviously cover lurid aspects of the royal family. But even then, I think it's like, they could probably still kill us.
Yeah.
There's still laws.
The British papers are disgusting, as, again, we will find out throughout the course of this podcast. But I am surprised that only one went with it.
Yeah.
I think there probably is really...
I bet still on the books. She's like, Queen's like, hey, you know what? I'm happy just to take a backseat to all this. Yeah, I'll let you do your parliament stuff, do your voting. Wicked. That's probably how she talks. But just so you know, I have a firm grasp of constitutional law.
Yeah.
And the treason laws in particular, I will kill you.
It is probably also like a bit, you know, you scratch my back, I'll give you a coronation picture. Like,
yeah, I think it's you scratch my back, I'll execute foreign nationals.
Yeah, exactly. No, because there's every paper has, like, looking at Meghan Markle, every paper has a royal correspondent, and the one who found out about Harry and Meghan first at the Daily Express got to go on TV and talk about being on it for the Daily Express and, like, look so unbelievably smug about having been the first person to be like, order kissing.
I imagine a royal correspondent is good at being smug.
Oh my God, yeah. Have you ever seen Nicholas Witchell?
Yeah.
Nicholas Witchell.
I hope he comes back a few times in this podcast.
Oh, he's going to. We're on Witchell watch. I'm putting the flag in the Witchell. We're going to watch him.
You're a Witchell finder general.
Very good.
There you go. Oh,
we're steaming along.
So let's move on to Meghan's adulthood.
Yes. So here's a very interesting thing about Meghan. Everything she's done seems to be sort of like a weird foreshadowing of the rest of her life. Check this out, right? So she went to Northwestern University and studied. She had a double major. She studied theatre, so her acting career. And international relations. Like, that's going to be her whole job now.
Again, I like to. Devious.
Absolutely.
She knows where she was headed.
I think she's great. I think she's got a plan. As part of that course, she worked at the US Embassy in Argentina, cool by itself. Her role being liaising with foreign dignitaries. Everything she's done.
Oh my!
I'm drawing the lines. It's like when you've got strings on a corkboard. She knew at 20 that she was going to do this.
Bloody hell!
It's mad.
I don't know what A levels to pick.
No, I would like. I did drama. I just did drama. Can't act.
Bloody hell! Well done, Meghan.
Yeah, and she continued her like more altruistic elements as well. She's since spoken at UN Women's Summits about gender inequality and modern slavery, which I think is heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that on this. No. We've got a platform. We probably should.
Yeah.
We're not going to. But then she reaches a very... Well, actually, no, let's get to this first. I put these in the wrong order. In 2002... She booked her first ever acting job, or major acting job, which was a background role on General Hospital, which I think is where almost every American actor or Canadian actor has started, it being the soap opera that everyone's on at some point. But she describes her mixed-race heritage as a hindrance in getting early roles. And in the meantime, this is a weird little detail, she took... And if you're... Right. If you think that she came from a lower-class background... Get this.
Remember, gangster.
From the mean streets of the Beverly Hills. To kind of shore up her funds in between acting jobs, which she wasn't getting, she became a freelance calligrapher.
Wait, what were we talking, Joe? Graffiti?
No, absolutely not. Just nice curly writing with a quill. There's no way you're getting that job unless your house you grow up in has a quill in it. How do you learn calligraphy?
You're not doing it with a Bic.
She did theatre and international relations. She learned that before uni. So I thought that was very interesting. Also, backing that up, because there was a bit of me that was like, isn't that just a weird bit of wiki graffiti?
Yeah.
Her signature on Wikipedia, beautiful.
Is it?
She has a gorgeous signature. Go and look it up. Honestly, I'm jealous of that signature.
I think I've just stumbled across a problem with this podcast.
Go on.
I'm falling in love with it. She sounds amazing.
The beautiful, devious queen.
And I can't say she's lost on Harry. She's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, no. The thing is, I'm feeling sorry for Harry, and I'm feeling a great deal of love for Meghan.
Don't feel sorry for Harry, because he gets way better.
Okay, good.
I think he's a good dude, Harry.
Oh, I feel sorry for his upbringing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Must be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, not that tough, but relatively.
Yeah. I think you always say some bad stuff happened.
Yeah. But in 2004, and here's a fairly major thing, she met her first husband.
That's, what?
I know, right? And as literally everyone pointed out as soon as they could, the last time an American actress married a member of the royal family, things went to pot. We had a constitutional crisis. Oh, yeah, and she was divorced.
Is that Witchell?
No, just people. Idiots. Idiots who aren't us. So her first husband was called Trevor Engelson, who's a film producer best known for his romance-turned 9/11 drama Remember Me.
Oh, Robert Pattinson?
Yeah, which he would appear in as a barmaid.
Have you seen that?
No, I just know the ending. It's mental.
Yeah, it's just a regular movie. Spoilers for this movie.
Oh, yeah, who cares?
But they spoil it by making it. At the end of the movie, you don't know it's a 9/11 movie, and the last scene is him in
the Twin
Towers
as the plane comes towards it.
Yeah.
It's good. Is it? Yeah, I'm not sure about Trevor Engelson's work. If that's his best known film, he's not a great producer, is he? But they met in 2004. That was later. And they married in 2011. But they divorced in 2013, citing irreconcilable differences. Which, there's two schools of thinking on this, right? One, she was working in Toronto at the time and living there as well. And he was obviously in LA doing all the film producing. Or lack thereof. So that's one side. You know, long distance, very hard to make it work. Other side, and this may be my own theory, is they had a four-day wedding party in Jamaica. And the only picture that exists of them from that party, he is wearing sandals. You do not wear sandals at your own wedding party. I don't care if it's in Jamaica.
No.
Trevor quite literally put his foot in it at that moment.
I tell you who wouldn't do that. Harry.
Harry would never wear sandals. So that is the adulthood and sort of adolescence of Meghan.
I try to warn you as much as possible.
So I'm going to move on to the belated maturing of Harry. He's a very fine young man.
And his career.
It's like a lot of like royal people do, a lot of royal males. He like went into the army. He went
royal males. I just thought of all the
royal males.
I just thought of them all like with the heads from their stamps.
Like a lot of royal males. He entered a post box. He enrolled at Sandhurst, which is like a very famous British military academy. And like his father, his brother, and his uncle, he learned to fly helicopters.
Yes.
So
wait, all of them learned to fly helicopters.
Yes, military helicopters. I think Andrew flew them in the Falklands War.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did old-timey kings do like Leonardo da Vinci's helicopters?
Yeah, they tried to get off the ground.
Little thopters.
Yeah, George V loved it.
Yeah, he's well into it.
He's like, what are you doing? So within 2 years, he was promoted to lieutenant. And this is a weird thing. When you want to learn to fly military helicopters, you do a flying assessment. And how well you do in that test determines whether you train as the pilot of an Apache, Lynx, or Gazelle helicopter.
So there's like a...
So if you're shit, you still get to fly a smaller one.
Oh, look at him. It's...
I don't want to get in with a Gazelle if he's not good at the test.
Jimmy Gazelle.
I feel like you pass it and then...
Just get given a helicopter, whichever one's closest.
There has to be a base level.
Maybe...
He failed it. I'll put him on the small one. There's people still in there.
Apache's the gunship, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think... Apache sounds most impressive because it's the one I've heard of.
Yeah.
And he passed.
So aced it.
He aced it. Captain Harry Wales again. So he could fly Apaches. Now...
No suggestions of A-level style cheating tests?
Like, it seems like he never crashed, which would imply that he could do it by himself.
Maybe because you're using sort of joysticks. Yeah. That's the polo skills coming in.
He has an AS level in tank.
Oh, very good to him. Very good to him. What is that? Very good to him.
There was a lot of time. I remember this actually on the news. Like, he wanted to go fight in Iraq and they said, he made a big issue. He was like, you can't. And then the head of the British Army said that he should.
And he
said, they were like, well, you would actually, he was like, I don't want to be treated differently. And it's like, it's more you're a very high profile target.
Yeah, but Queen, I've already got my shorts on.
Oh, Queen, you won't let me do anything.
I've got my sunscreen.
And then years later, I think it was several months later, they revealed that he was in Afghanistan.
Yes, he was.
And he flew missions, but it was secret at the time. So, it wouldn't be a thing. He wouldn't have been kidnapped.
They made up a little tantrum for him.
Yeah, so he just disappeared for a few months, but he was flying helicopters in Afghanistan, which is pretty cool.
He did two tours, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
What is a tour?
I don't know.
Because in his case, like, is it just a tour? Like, does he go on tour?
It's like staying in Holiday Inns.
Yeah. I've seen him in a helicopter. I've not seen that helicopter fly, though. I've never actually seen him in a flying helicopter.
You're not saying this is all like...
Look, if we're believing this about Meghan, I'll believe anything about Harry.
Mate, you can fly an Apache. What have you done? So I'm just going to round this up. Like, it seems like he's matured, he's done the soldiering, and now he's ambassador for lots of good causes, kind of continuing the work of his mum. And I thought one of the nicest things I read about him is a couple of years ago, he kind of opened up about his own mental health problems following the death of his mother. And I thought, you know what, that's a really brave and cool thing to do.
Absolutely.
And I think he's all right.
And he went on to create the very worthy Invictus Games, which would play a large part in his future.
Like, I'm not in love with him like Megan, so can we hear more about Megan?
Yes, we can. Let's cover Megan's career. After an early start in 2002, came a sort of trickle, which became a flood of jobs. But I've got a small rundown of her roles before the major one. She was in CSI New York, in which she played a sexy maid.
Oh, the third CSI spin-off.
Yeah.
For fans of CSI.
She was in the film Horrible Bosses, in which she played a sexy FedEx lady. And Deal or No Deal, she was a sexy lady with one of the briefcases.
Ooh.
She was in the big lineup of that. And in A Lot Like Love, finally, a named role, Hot Girl.
you say name.
Well, it had a name attached that wasn't uncredited or like.
I wonder that. It's like, I'll go with uncredited.
Yeah, actually, I do think she had a name in CSI New York. I've done her down there, but there was a pattern to the sort of role she was being given.
It's better than Box Girl.
My favorite of her, yes, it is. It's my favorite of her roles pre Suits was that she appeared in two episodes of Fringe, the sort of sub X Files J.J. Abrams thing. She played a character called Agent Amy Jessup. And she appeared in the first two episodes of season two, in which she was investigating a murder. Can't remember. And after her appearance, now get this, writer-producer Akiva Goldsman told viewers that they had not seen the last of Agent Jessup. Ooh. It was the last anyone saw of Agent Jessup. And that show went on for quite a while afterwards. It was just like a weird mystery.
What an odd...
It's like Krycek in X-Files came back loads.
Yeah, yeah.
Amy Jessup, I think they were going
set her
like,
up for that.
Yeah. It's a bit mean, isn't it? I thought that was strange.
I bet, you know what, now that he knows that she's going to be royal, I bet he's shitting it.
Or he's bringing Fringe back. Yeah. The Amy Jessup show.
He's like, he's pitching it already, going, imagine the ratings.
It'll be incredible. We'll get her out of retirement. She has since retired. I didn't realise that until I started looking. But anyway, before that, before the retirement, there was seven seasons of Suits. Suits is a legal drama on, I believe it's the USA Network. Can't remember. So she booked that role in 2011. She plays Rachel Zane, a paralegal. I still don't know what a paralegal is. Like, honestly, the only thing I ever think of is someone in a suit on a parachute behind a boat. Like, that's my only vision of it.
That's legal advice for really rich people.
Yeah, on boats.
Someone shouting down at you.
Hey!
Jumping out
of the Apache.
Yeah, or in international waters, getting like legal counsel.
That's what you want.
I'm not on the boat.
I think paralegal is someone who doesn't have... like legal qualifications, but who assists with cases.
Right.
Okay. Maybe. But I've not looked that up. I genuinely don't know what they are. I'm just going off the top of my head based on what I know of Rachel Zane, her character. And Rachel Zane has most sort of ongoing plot line is that she has a romance with one of the lead characters, Mike Ross, and that her dad, or her fictional dad in the show, was a partner in a law firm called, and this is amazing, Rand, Kaldor and Zane, which sounds like a league, like a law firm for aliens, which I enjoyed. She appeared in 100 episodes over seven seasons.
Oh, so she's a major character.
She's a huge part in Suits, like a really major part. And that's borne out by, look, I don't know anything about Suits, really.
Okay.
I've looked at a few clips.
You could have fooled me, Joe.
Yeah, I know, right? So... I don't know what her performance was like, but I'll tell you who does. The freaks who comment on the Suits wiki. There are extensive comments underneath the Rachel Zane entry on the Suits Wiki. I didn't even need to look anywhere else. There's pages of them. So I thought I'd read you some of them.
Okay.
I can get a little taster of what viewers thought of Rachel Zane.
How fans received her. Okay.
I'm going to try not to read the really unpleasant ones. I love Rachel. I think she's smart, caring, and she is growing. Sure, there are some aspects of her personality that can be annoying. But who doesn't have that? She and Mike are good together, and I hope their relationship continues despite impending issues that may arise. Weird. Season 5, Episode 8 was Rachel's best acting to date, in my opinion. She was amazing. Most of these don't have names attached, so I don't know who was that. Okay. They're just from a fandom user. I've got a contrasting opinion here. I do not like her character at all. She takes things personally. She interferes with everyone's business. She doesn't understand business is business, and she thinks everything is about her. Which is saying the same thing like 4 times. I love the show, but the scenes where she's in it, I tend to zone out because it annoys me. I was hoping she wouldn't last.
She's in 7 seasons, mate.
Yeah, but going back on the other side, I like Mike and Rachel together. Other one, not a reply, ages later. I don't like her and Mike together. This one's very good. I didn't know she played a biracial character. That's an actress. These people are fundamentally unable to deal with there's a human pretending to, like, lying about being someone else. Except that she's using the same name as her actual real first name.
She's using her actual body in this role.
Yeah, it's disgusting. This one's good. I hope she dies. Weird. And I like this. This is a very sort of motherly response to the character. She is very classy, but she has low self-esteem from what I can tell. You could see through her ups and downs that she is not in a healthy state. She's very attractive and very smart. She's just in a lot of pressure. She should give herself more time. Again, fictional character. There's a lot of weird shit.
Right, so when you introed that as freaks, I thought you were maybe being a little harsh, and now I would say you'd not been harsh enough.
Mate, there is so much more. Dozens upon dozens of people who think that she's a real person.
So I think that kind of brings us up to date. Well, it brings us up to the moment of what I referred to previously as the sexy convergence, a.k.a.
I thought it was the romantic convergence. Just because you fell in love with Megan...
Oh, God, that's revealed something, hasn't it? I've betrayed myself with my own word selection, a.k.a. the engagement, which... engagement, if you use boring words we all agree on. Mm. So we'll tackle that in a minute.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We were introduced actually by a mutual friend.
Welcome back. Now, before we start the engagement, I'm just going to open some champagne that will sound mysteriously like a beer. Oh, that's good champagne. That's how you know it's good.
A very cheap beer.
When the cork sounds like metal. Mr. Daniel Krupper.
Yes.
Has not shown me what he's going to do for this section. The romantic convergence, as he sometimes calls it.
The sexy event horizon.
He's just produced a book.
It's a very large book, and it's not a very thick book.
It's an A4-sized, non-thick book. It's sort of halfway between a pamphlet and a oversized novella.
Yeah, it's like a program you get at a theatre.
It is like that.
It's called Harry and Meghan, A Royal Engagement. So, and it's not a lot of design's gone into the cover.
No, it's a picture and what looks like some of her freelance calligraphy.
Yes, it's lovely. I bought this in hope that there'd it's tax deductible. I thought it'd be like a treasure trove of annuals. It's not. But one thing did catch my eye, and I thought it was relevant if we were going to talk about the actual engagement, is do you know actually how the engagement went down? It's a very odd thing. So it was during one of these quiet times at home. I'm reading from the book now.
Should we set up? So they met on a blind date.
Yes,
London's Soho House. They were introduced by a friend.
I've been there.
And apparently they were a couple.
I could have met Megan.
You could have done. Could have been the engager. But yeah, they were a couple overnight. They loved each other.
That's like when you're 13 and get off with someone.
That's like the best episodes of Blind Date. They actually lived that. So they have this secret relationship. It gets found out by the press. I can't remember exactly how. I think they just got spotted having a little smooch. And then the engagement happens. And that is when this book will tell us about.
It's just a very odd, like, unspectacular moment, but quite like it.
Okay.
I'm not against it. So I'm reading from the book now. There's no author on the cover, so I'm sorry about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It was during one of these quiet times at home that Harry finally popped the question and proposed to Meghan. While cooking roast chicken... Harry suddenly dropped to one knee.
Wait. He did not put the ring on one of the drumsticks, did he?
On a little wing.
Yeah.
I love the use of suddenly. Suddenly dropped to one knee.
Bang. Really
like,
loud.
Oh, it's Browning.
Scared a dog.
And with ring in hand, asked to surprise Meghan to be his wife. Meghan was moved by his very romantic, very sweet proposal, and so enthusiastic was her reply that Harry hardly had time to finish his sentence before she delightfully accepted.
Oh.
Which I think is stunning prose.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently, he gets... So I'm thinking about this. Just imagine the scene. So this is in Kensington Palace, apparently, in a cottage on the grounds, I think. And he gets to one knee. So I'm wondering, is he level with the oven?
Wait,
this is happening, is his face illuminated by a little oven light?
Number one, definitely got an aga. No way he's getting illuminated.
Well, I'm also thinking the alternatives is because I think his first say Harry is quite posh. Yeah. He has maybe one of those head height ovens.
Ooh, you think it's that well decked out?
Well, you get that a lot now in a modern kitchen. It's 2018. You don't have to bend anymore.
I've got one of them.
Do you? That doesn't surprise me. You know what I do like on Bake Off? Those ovens where you open the door and the oven door goes into the oven.
Oh, so good.
That's brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
Because you could be frying stuff and have warm knees.
Oh, a little grill.
So I want to know if he's getting on one knee, but you're right, he probably does have an argo.
I also do want to point out that you've extrapolated from they were cooking roast chicken at the time to he literally engaged her in front of a cooking chicken.
I just feel
it could
like
be anywhere.
But he says he suddenly got down. They haven't got challenge. Like this writer, this uncredited writer says suddenly got down. Which I'm saying geographically puts him in the room with the chicken in the kitchen.
I like the idea that he risky businessed in socks all the way from the kitchen to the living room. Sort of stumbled when it hit the carpet level. Went on one knee and was like, got to style it out. Boom! Had the ring.
Mate, this is a palette. Do you know how far these rooms are apart? He's going to have like really slippy socks.
Yeah, it's called the cottage, isn't it?
Cottage in inverted commas.
I'm just trying to believe they're like us.
And apparently, she said this on in an interview. There is nothing as delicious or as impressive as a perfectly roasted chicken. She said this while sitting in a fucking palace.
Wait, she said this?
Yeah.
And wait, in an interview about the engagement, she talked about the chicken.
Again, it's one of these stories that I struggled to find a source for. But it is in a lot of online stories. She said, again, there is nothing as delicious or as impressive as a perfectly roasted chicken. She's sitting in a palace.
I perfectly roasted a chicken 2 weekends ago. Like, I could be a royal.
I love how blasé. I think that's going to set her up brilliantly to be a future royal.
Yeah.
If the most impressive thing in the world to her is a roast chicken.
She's going to be amazed. Imagine when she gets on a plane. She's going to freak out.
Imagine they bring Concorde back.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I really want them to bring
Concorde
then,
back. Because I was searching for, like, wedding chicken.
For a second, I just agreed with that.
I kind of went down this weird, like, rabbit hole. Have you ever heard of something called engagement chicken?
What is that?
It seems like an urban legend called engagement chicken. Isn't chicken so delicious? If you taste it, you have to marry the person who made
That's not real. You're making this up.
No. So it apparently goes back to 1982. The editor of Glamour magazine, right, okay. No, it's a joke. Treat you seriously, okay.
Because it's romantic.
The editor of Glamour's fashion department gave an assistant a recipe for buttery lemon chicken. So, and eventually, this was published in Glamour magazine in 2004. And since then, it's been responsible for at least 12 engagements.
That's the internet age.
But obviously, there's some kind of logical fallacy here, like post hoc ergo prop talk. Just because you've had chicken and then get engaged doesn't mean it's because of the chicken.
You've created a straw chicken argument.
One day I might get engaged. It's not because I've had a Coke.
Imagine, though, if it was.
I do have the recipe for the chicken, but I think that can wait till another time.
Well, let's put it on our Twitter account, at Windsor Not Pod.
Yeah, I'll do that. I might make it this weekend. Oh, lovely.
That's a great idea. Should we both make engagement chicken?
I don't want to share it with anyone because we know the potency of engagement chicken.
That's a worry. The only person...
Just what you do, leave out the fennel.
Oh, yeah, no fennel.
If the fennel's not in it, you're getting, at best, prolonged courtship.
Sex chicken. The fennel's kind of like, nope, not going anywhere with that.
Okay, we're backtracking on the fennel, everyone. So I think that brings us up to date, but I thought we're just going to... Are you good to end the proposal section?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, I have nothing to add.
I'm going
to
end it with my second book.
Oh, my
It's called Harry and Meghan, The Love Story. This one does have an author. It's called Emily Herbert. She's called Emily Herbert.
I like that Emily Herbert's chosen two pictures of them where they're clearly not in the same place.
I know, and this is remarkable, this book. This book is 250 pages. It came out 7 days after the engagement. So while it might be quite a big font... You've got to say Emily's worked her socks off.
This is one of those obituary things where it's written for ages, but without any other names filled in.
And I think this is a lovely way to like kind of draw to end our first episode. Harry, the little lost boy, had become a mature man with a concern for people who were less fortunate than him and a determination to make his way in the world. Meghan was a woman of substance. Yes, she was lucky to have found her prince, but he was every bit as lucky to have found his princess.
Aw, that's beautiful. So, right, everyone. This isn't going to be how it is every week. Firstly, I think this is quite long. Secondly, what we're going to do from now on is we're going to find the best of the news coverage stories about the royal wedding in progress. We're going to chart it. We're going to find out cummerbund sizes, maybe. That's a thing I wrote ages ago and it's stuck in my head.
I've never owned a cummerbund.
No, I did. What? Are they like belts?
Oh, you would have.
No. Well, maybe. But I've never had a cummerbund. But we're going to have like... just this ongoing timeline of what this wedding's becoming. But I do want to do one thing before we go.
Okay.
I'm going to introduce what I hope will become a regular feature that does not become so depressing for me to research that I can't do it every week. I'm going to introduce Conspiracy Corner. Okay. Now, news coverage, obviously from the mainstream media, or the lamestream media, as we should call it, is...
Nice one, Joe. Skewer them.
At worst, is going to be working for, you know, the man in some respect. It's very much Bilderberg versus the royals these days. So I'm looking straight to the source of true news, which is conspiracy forums that I find by searching truth forums on Google.
Yeah, that's how Google works.
And I found truthzone.net. And they're very interesting theory.
Couldn't even get .com.
Nope. Very, and there's a hyphen between truth and zone. And this is a very interesting...
Mate, you know what they would say, you can't have a monopoly on truth.
Yeah. And this is my favourite... I've read a lot of conspiracy theory forums, and this is my favourite...
I can see it in your eyes.
I've gone mad. They've gone all black because I'm a lizard man. It's disinformation. I'm losing it. This is my favourite way of structuring a message about a conspiracy, which is just saying things, putting them in inverted commas, and then putting emojis after it, but never actually alleging anything. So this is Annabelle. check this out. See if this stops you loving Meghan so much, you absolute colluder. Why has she abandoned Bogart, her Labrador Shepherd cross, in Toronto? Supposedly because he is unfit to fly. And then like a little scratching your chin emoji. And how did her beagle, Guy, end up with two broken legs shortly after their engagement was announced? Shrugging emoji. Her two beloved rescue pups. She leaves one behind, not bothering to take him with her, and the other one ends up with severe injuries, with two broken legs. Unhappy face. Meghan Markle. Dog hurt her?
Let's not end. What?
Really weird. So, I want Conspiracy Corner to be us analysing how truthful this is. Now, actually, we've accidentally stumbled on a way better conspiracy theory, which is that this is a long con from Edward III, that she's going to take the throne back.
That's ours. That's something. That's our, like, that's going to structure the whole podcast, I think.
Do we think that Meghan just left her dogs behind and broke the other one's legs because of the engagement?
Your misery?
Yeah.
No.
Good.
Everything you've told me about her, and as Emily Herbert says in her book, Harry and Meghan, a Love Story,
yes,
she's a woman of substance.
She is a woman of substance. And you know what's not substantial? Breaking a dog's legs because of your engagement.
Yeah. Just...
maybe.
I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say sell it. Maybe, that's worse.
Maybe he was jumping up on the table to get to the engagement chicken. She swatted him away and it was an accident. That's what I like to believe happened.
We need to do. Next time we need to see how she interacts with a corgi.
Very
and
good.
And that will be
Has
evidence.
There been any documented corgi action?
I don't think. And maybe it's for a reason. I don't want to add to the conspiracy theory, but we have not. I don't know if we've seen her with Pembroke or Cardigan.
Are they the two names?
Yes.
Well done.
I think so. Welsh cardigan?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Mm. Go with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Conspiracy Corner. I promise it will not be really offensive.
Well, it's not just going to be like Slay and Meghan every week, I hope, Joe.
Lot of stuff on my search history at work that's not nice.
So that's it, I think, for the first episode. So, since it's the first one, we have no emails. But if you would like to email us in future, you can contact us at show@thewindsornotpod.com, which written down looks really weird. I can't not see Sork.
Like Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah. So it's show@thewindsornotpod.com. Which is lots of syllables, but it's quite snazzy.
Yeah, and send us stories you think we should read. Send us your conspiracy theories. Don't send us offensive things.
Also, you know what else you can do if you're a very nice person? And I'm talking to you, yeah, you? You can go on iTunes and give us a little review and say how, you know, I'm not to put words in your mouth, urbane, erudite.
British.
Suave. Those are words you could use.
Mm.
Sexy Event Horizon.
Engagement Chicken.
Engagement Chicken.
Yeah.
Is that a new online metric?
Mate.
What's your Engagement Chicken
time? That's really good.
Yeah.
Let's quit this podcast and start engagementchicken.com and make our millions. That would
Bye.
Be nice.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym
for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.